Mark chapter 4, beginning verse number 35. And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was, in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on the pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Well, I felt like that a few times, hadn't you? He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? And verse 1 of chapter 5, And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. We thank you for loving us, for saving us, for being our best friend. We thank you for your watch care of our trip, and not just for that, but we thank you for the fruit. Thank you, Lord, for those that have gotten saved. Lord, I praise you for it. I ask you, dear Lord, that you'll help us illuminate our mind, help us to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Help me to say nothing more, nothing less than what you desire and design. We pray you'll speak to us and through us. Pray, dear God, you'll get the glory. Pray you'll help us today. We need it. We need your touch. Lord, we can't function without the unction of the Holy Spirit. And I pray now your will to be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, Mark chapter 4, the scripture we read to you has no doubt been used of God on many occasions to encourage and to strengthen the life of the believer. As it shows us that even though you're saved and a follower of Christ, that you're not exempt from storms. And that's, I guess, one of the things that probably knocks a lot of people off of their feet as young converts, is that they get saved and they think that their new life, their spiritual life, is just going to be smooth and sunshiny and everything's going to be just working out. And that's what a lot of the health and wealth gospel preachers would have you to believe, that if you get saved and serve God, that you'll be healthy and wealthy. Well, you get saved and serve God, you may be neither one. You know, I don't know of anybody that suffered any more than Jesus. And nobody's lived more perfect than him. Amen. So it shows there that the devil is going to fight you if you walk with God and that you live for the Lord. But anyway, you need to understand that when you get saved, that there will be opposition. You know, you're not on the devil's team anymore. You're on the opposing team, and he's going to fight you, and he's going to try to tackle you, and he's going to try to prevent you from gaining ground and your life being used of God. But in spite of all the negative, in spite of all the storms, and in spite of all the struggles, I can stand before you having been saved, soon to be 35 years, and I can say it is still the most greatest thing, the best thing that has ever happened to me. The only regret I have is that I didn't get saved earlier in my life so that I could have lived a longer for the Lord to this point. Amen. But we find in our text where Jesus and his disciples are in a ship and they're going to the other side, and we find that they encounter a storm. And I was looking at this passage of scripture on the plane coming back, and it just began to minister my heart, just simple truth, and I wanted to share with you this morning on the subject of ride out your storm. Ride out your storm. Now, I know a lot of times we want to rid the storm. We want to get rid of it. We'd love to have an exit. We'd love for it not to be existing in our life. But storms will make you into a better Christian. The negatives of life will make you a better Christian. Amen. You'll never be really stable unless you go through some things. You'll never grow unless you go through some things. A baby never learns to walk unless it falls sometimes. And I know parents, your mind is, I want to keep you from falling, but really those falls helps that baby to get to learn, hey, if I don't keep my balance or if I don't keep a hold of something, then I'm going to fall on my can. Of course, it's padded with a pamper, but they learn anyway that there's negatives in life. And we got to learn to deal with those things. Ride out your storm is the message I feel like the Lord had me to give to you this morning. And there's some things laid out right in these verses. They're simple, but I think they're important to help you when you're having a storm. Now listen, when you're dealing with a storm in your life, and by the way, everybody has storms. You have physical storms, you have financial storms, you'll have social storms in your life, and God knows we're headed for an economic storm in our life that I don't think too many people's ready for. I mean, even the people in the Philippines knows that America's going down financially. And I hate that, but it looks like that may be the course for us. I don't know. We just have to deal with it when we come. But I'm glad that Jesus Christ is not controlled by circumstances. I'm glad he's not controlled by circumstances. That he doesn't have to get permission. He doesn't have to get a political vote before he does something in your life. And I'm glad the provisions of God, listen, is not based upon man. I'm glad God can take care of us without man. God can take care of us as he has proven to be able to do throughout the Bible. But as you ride out your storm, here's some things, just some encouragement for you this morning. It spoke to my heart anyway as I was coming home. Number one, I noticed that when we ride out our storm, we can ride out our storm with the presence of Jesus, as we find in verse number 35. And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, and this word got big to me, let us. Let us pass over unto the other side. And that word us caught my attention because that includes Jesus. If Jesus would have said, now y'all go, of course he wouldn't have said y'all, but hey. If he'd been born in over here, he would have said y'all or yuns, amen. But if he'd have said that would have meant you go and I'm going to stay here. But when he said let us go, that included him. He said, I'm going with you. And I don't know about you, but that right there ought to speak comfort to us when we're facing the unwanted, the unwelcome, the uninvited problems in our life that comes in our life. And we can face those and ride out our storm with the presence of Jesus included in our storm. Amen. Isn't that good? So that means with him being included in our storm, he knows exactly what's going on. He's got inside information. He doesn't have to get a telegram to find out what's going on in your life because he's in the ship with you. I'm glad of that this morning. Amen. Jesus said, let us go. And that simply means that if the ship goes down, he goes down. If I go down, he goes down. If he goes down, I go down. Because he's included in my storm. He's on board my ship. He lives within me. He takes up residence in the life of the believer. Thank God. And if he goes down, I go down. If I go down, he goes down. But he said, let us go over to the other side. And guess what? He's not going down. You try to drown him, he'll walk on the water. Amen. You throw him in a fiery furnace with the three Hebrew boys and Daniel, and he'll just turn it into a fellowship hall. Amen. To have fellowship one with another. Amen. You try to bury him, he'll kick the other end of the grave out. Amen. On resurrection morning, he's not going down. He's not going down, amen. Hallelujah. That's right. Thank God for the presence of Jesus that we can look to and that we can lean on. And I'm glad of that. And I got to thinking, coming over of course you could look out the window and you could tell we was flying over the ocean, the big pond. And And I was thinking about this situation here, that though the ship was full, verse number 20 or 37, the ship was full, and though it was full, it was still floating. And I preached on that here one time on floating while full. You know, people look at your life and they see you, things going on, and they wonder why you're still going to church, and they wonder why that you're still floating, if you will. Your circumstances said you should be sinking, but you're still floating. You're still going forward. You're still on. Amen. You're still gaining ground. And of course, we have to give all the credit to the Lord. And I thought about this, that the body cannot drown until the head goes under. Amen. The body can be submerged in water, but it can't drown till the head goes under. Isn't that right? Well, guess who's the head? Jesus Christ in the Bible is said to be the head of the church. The church may be submerged in trouble and trials and heartache and stormy seas, but we can't go under and we can't die unless our head goes under, and he'll never go under. Praise God. That's right. So we can ride out our storm with the presence of Jesus being included in our storm. Number two, we can ride out our storm with the promise of Jesus being inspired. The promise of Jesus. When Jesus said, "Let us pass over unto the other side," that was a promise. In fact, that word "unto" means point reached. Jesus didn't say we're going toward the other side. He didn't say we're going to make an effort. We're going to swim for it, or we're going to paddle the boat for it. No, he said we're going to the other side. Thank God that promise is inspired, amen? That promise has got the inspiration of God. He can't lie, right? The Bible says twice in the scripture very plainly that God cannot lie. And when he said we're going to the other side, he meant it. And there's nothing the devil can do to stop that. And I bless the Lord for that. God is bound by his word, isn't he? God is bound by his word. Right here, and you'll have to learn this, but right here you'll find to be your best friend in this world. Why? Because this is the recorded word of God. This is the recorded promises of God. The recorded direction of God. And I want to tell you, do you well to get familiar with the word of God. Amen. Get you a good King James Bible and get familiar with it. Learn it. Because this right here will be your support. This right here will be your stay, your refuge. I can't tell you the time that my world seemingly had a major storm going on, but I could get in this book right here and God could speak to me. Amen. And thank God for the promise of Jesus that we're going to the other side and that he cannot lie. I'm glad of that. Amen. Man can promise, but you don't know if they're going to hold up there on their end or not. You don't know if they're going to fulfill it or not. Circumstances could change. They could get sick. They could die. Whatever that would cause them to have to falter on their promise. But I'm glad Jesus Christ can speak with authority. And he can say, we're going to the other side. So I'm glad we can ride out our storm. You can ride out your storm with the presence of Jesus. You can ride out your storm with the promise of Jesus, the word of God, amen? Because listen, this is good, and it's just basing on verse number 35, when he said, let us pass over to the other side, just like his presence was including him, also his promise included him. Let us, amen? If one thing that Jesus said, here, if it falters, then you might as well throw all your Bible away. Might as well throw it all away. Amen. We don't believe that it's partly inspired. We believe it's all inspired. It's all of God's Word. He cannot lie. And I'm glad we have the presence of Jesus. I'm glad we have the promise of Jesus. And then, thirdly, we can ride out our storm with the peace of Jesus. And just as his presence is included and his promise is inspired, his peace is insurmountable. Oh, the waves may be tall and big, and the wind may be crashing and sounding and scaring you to death in your life and what's going on in your life. But oh, the insurmountable peace that comes in our life. Oh my, the peace of God. When I got saved, Brother Carroll, I got peace with God. Peace with God. That means the war's over. I'm not an enemy of God no more. And God's not an enemy of me no more. We're not on opposite sides no more. Amen? But I'm glad this morning to show you that the peace of God is different than the peace with God. Peace with God comes when you get saved. But the peace of God is in your life for your experience as you deal with difficulty. And you look at Jesus and his earthly ministry, and you look at his life, and you wonder, how did he stay calm in that situation? Peace of God. He had the peace he's got. John 14, what is it, verse 27? My peace give I unto you. He said, my peace. Sister Hayes, the very peace that Jesus Christ himself experienced on earth as he dealt with all kinds of problems and all kinds of persecution, he said that same peace, he said, my peace give I unto you. Not as the world giveth give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I'm glad we can ride out our storm with the peace of Jesus. Now there's two things here I want to show or share with you this morning about this peace. I see, first of all, there's an inner peace that is projected here in this statement. There's an inner peace. Where do you get that? I get that from the fact that Jesus illustrates the spirit nature in the believer, whereas the disciples were illustrating the flesh nature in the believer. They were frantic and they were doubting and they were unbelieving and they were falling apart, even questioning Jesus, carest thou not that we perish? Even though they had a promise to go to the other side, they thought they were perishing. Amen. But Jesus was showing the inner man, the spirit man, what was he doing? What was he doing? He was asleep on a pillow. He was asleep on the pillow. See, the believer has two natures. You have the flesh nature, the old human nature, but then you have the spirit nature. Amen. Or the flesh nature. You have both. And guess what? When outside everything's falling apart, if you respond with the flesh, you'll be doubting God, you'll be questioning God, and you'll be falling apart and thinking about quitting and thinking about throwing in the towel and just not going to church no more and just giving it all up. But on the inside, if you'll respond with that spirit man, the new man, the Holy Spirit inside, he's resting even in the time of a storm. So there's inner peace projected here through that. And then there's an outer peace that is shown here too, when he spoke to the winds and the waves in verse 39, and he said, peace be still. He said, peace be still. Amen. So we can deal with our storm, ride out our storm, ride out your storm. Quitting's not an option. I don't know what you're going through this morning. I don't know what you're facing in life. I don't know what difficulty is coming in your direction. I don't know what you're facing now, and none of us know what we'll face tomorrow. We don't know what phone call we'll get. We don't know what tragedy might come. We don't know. But I'm glad we can ride out our storm with the presence of the Lord. He's involved in your storm. He personally is involved in your circumstance. Amen. Well, that's a blessing, isn't it? The presence of Jesus is included. The promise of Jesus is inspired. The peace of Jesus is insurmountable. But then there's the providence of Jesus. The providence of Jesus is involved. What do you mean? This storm wasn't an accident. See, that's where we get thrown for a loop right there. We get this, why me? Why now? Why this attitude? You know, why is this happening? Me and Brother King was talking about that when our flights got all messed up and we had to go plumb on the other side of the world to get somewhere. You know, and we was, I mean, be honest, we was vexed. We was aggravated at how all that happened. But then we got to thinking, you know, we don't know what God might have been preventing. We don't know what happened to that flight, if there was problems. And when we actually got to the Philippines and Brother Tanger was telling us that flight path that we, you know, if we'd have went into Japan like we were supposed to, what on our original layout, we'd have went into Natera, Japan, and then straight down into the Philippines, we would have been heading right straight into that typhoon that they just had. And they told me, they said, "Preacher, you could have been grounded in Japan for 2, 3, 4 days, possibly a week or longer. You could have been grounded. You know, and that would have prevented us getting to the Philippines. You know, who knows? But once we got to thinking positive, and that's hard to get to, we get to thinking negative. Why in the world is this happening to me? I mean, you know, why can't it be smooth? And why can't it be quick? And, you know, why is it this, we have to go these extra miles? And what was the long part of our flight originally was 13 and a half hours, ended up being almost 17 hours of flying. And it just was aggravating, not counting that other going through Manila and the 7-hour delay and then on into Cebu. But you know what? Providence. Think about the providence of God. That it's not an accident. You know, when you get to thinking, well, maybe God has a purpose in this. Maybe God's got something positive in this. And you may not see it. You may not see it for a while. You may never see it. But when you get over and you look back on it, you'll think, praise the Lord. I'm glad God knows what He's doing. I'm glad God knows what He's doing. I don't think nobody in Washington knows what they're doing. And I'm wondering about the rest of the world leaders if they know what they're doing. Amen. But I'm glad God knows what He's doing. And I'm glad we can trust Him this morning. Amen. Thank God for His providence that allows Him to know what's up ahead and arrange what we need and filter out what we don't need and prevent what we couldn't handle and give us grace for what we can handle. I'm glad we have the providence of God to know that He's not some Johnny come lately. He didn't fall off the last load of pumpkins coming through town. He doesn't have to get a text message to find out where you're at and what's going on in your life. I'm glad Jesus, thank God, is one of providence and He knows what's going on. Amen. He sees the big picture. He sees the big picture, amen? So we can ride out our storm with the providence of Jesus being involved. It surely will help you if you'll just accept it and say, you know, I may not understand the whys and the what fors and the hows and all of that, but Lord, I'm just going to make the choice. I'm going to trust You. I'm just going to trust You, Lord, amen? But when I think about this providence of Jesus being involved, there's a couple of things that come to my mind. God allowed this storm. God arranged this storm. And He knew before they ever got in the ship that the storm was coming because He's the God of the storm. And amen. That's right. It's not ever sent to kill you and destroy you. It's sent to develop you and make you stronger. But the storm, I noticed the providence of God, number one, was to surface the weakness of the saints. You may think you are all that, but when a storm comes and you fall apart, you wasn't all that. You faint in the day of adversity because your strength is small, Proverbs says. So He allowed the storm to come first to surface the weakness of the saints. He shut their unbelief surfaced, their lack of faith surfaced, their questioning God surfaced. All of that surfaced, and it's brought to the front that they wasn't what they thought they were. And it really helps to know that when you are facing storms that you're not perfect. Amen. You'll just tell yourself that. Some of you told yourself for so long you're perfect that you're starting to believe it. But you're to tell yourself, I'm not perfect. Your preacher's not perfect. Amen. I'll be the first to admit that I'm not perfect. My family's not perfect. Your family's not perfect. There's not nobody perfect here, amen? We're not perfect people. We serve a perfect God. We have a perfect Bible. We have a perfect salvation. We're headed to a perfect home. But we're not perfect. But we're being perfected. That is, God is surfacing the negative. God is surfacing things that needs to be dealt with in your life. Just like the fiery trial of gold and, you know, lacking to our faith in 1 Peter 1. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You can't destroy gold with heat. Turn it up, you can't destroy it. The hotter it gets, the more fire you put to gold, just like your faith, all it does is allow the dross to come to the surface and just skim it off. Amen? You've heard this before, I'm sure, but they tell me that they know when that gold is purified. It's when all the dross has come to the top, the impurities have come to the top, and they skim it off, and the fellow that's in charge can look over and see his reflection in that gold. God allows storms to come to surface the weakness of the saints to show us that we've not arrived yet. Amen? And show us some areas that we need to give some attention to. But not only do we see the providence of Jesus in the storm surfaces the weakness of the saints, but I like this. It was a show to the wicked sinner that's watching. You say, who's that? I believe it was the demoniac of Gadara. They was going to the other side, verse 35, chapter 5, verse 1. They came over unto the other side. Where was it? It was at the Gadarenes. It was the country of the Gadarenes. Everybody heard of the demoniac of Gadara? He was on the side of the sea. He was up on the hill there, and he could very easily be watching this storm unfold. He very easily could have watched this ship. He could have watched it from. He didn't know Jesus was on board. He didn't know nothing about the providence of God. He didn't know nothing about the purpose of God. He didn't know, but he was watching. I guarantee he was watching. Because soon as they landed on that sea, listen, on that shore, soon as they landed on that shore, guess who? Verse number 2 of chapter 5. And when he was come out of the ship, Jesus had come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with unclean spirit. Immediately. That meant he watched that ship and he watched it be tossed around and blowed around and beat around. And he thought, man, why is that ship not going down? And it made it all the way through the storm to his shore where he was at. And he thought, I want to find out who's on board this ship. I want to find out who's directing this ship. I want to find out who's the captain of this ship that prevented it from going down. And when Jesus started walking off the gangplank onto the shore, this man approached him. And he said to him, of course, he began a communication in chapter 5 with him. But the point I want to make here is that God allows storms in our life sometimes to be a picture to the unbeliever. They have storms too. Lost people have storms too. They have to deal with it, or they don't have to, but they choose to deal with it with drugs and alcohol and wickedness and an immoral life and all kinds of things like that. And it don't satisfy, it don't give them peace. They'll be honest. If they'll be honest with you, they'll tell you the drugs don't give them peace. Smoking dope don't give them peace. Popping pills don't give them peace. Drinking booze don't give them peace. Living an immoral life don't give them peace. It don't do that. I know it doesn't do that. The only one can give peace is the peacemaker. The only one that can give peace is the Prince of Peace. And his name is Jesus. If you don't know him here this morning, I highly recommend him to you. You may be hunting for peace as I did. I looked for it in all those places, but I didn't find it. But when I went to that altar that day, 35 years ago, Brother Ivan, got saved. I met Jesus and peace come in. I got peace. But I believe that sinners are watching our life. Lost people are watching your life. And we need to make sure that Jesus and His peace, amen, and His purpose and all of that is seen in our life, because they're watching our life. And we know the unfolding outcome of this, where that demoniac actually got saved. He actually got saved. What God did there on the sea by speaking peace to the sea, he, when he got on shore, he spoke peace to that man's life. And that man got saved. And I'm talking about a man's life that was a wreck. He couldn't be tamed. He had been pretty much excommunicated from society, and he lived in the tombs. He couldn't be tamed. He couldn't be corrected. He was just he was demon possessed. And you know, there was probably times that that man probably thought, man, I wish I could get set free from this condition. There's got to be something better to life than this. Living among the tombs and no peace. And he was watching, Brother Robbie watched that ship out there on the sea. No doubt he could see it, because he was just on the shore there. And no doubt as he watched that sea being, you know, just an uproar. And then all of a sudden, it just laid down like glass. He probably thought, boy, I wish that would happen to me. I need that to happen to me. My life's a wreck. My life's an uproar. My life is in turmoil. My life is a storm out of control. I need peace. But thank God, when Jesus stepped off, he met the Prince of Peace, and God spoke peace to his heart. But we need to remember that people's watching our life. People's watching our life. Amen. How you react may send a good or a bad signal to a lost person. Amen. If you fall apart and react in the flesh, as these disciples did, and start doubting God and become unfaithful to God and start, you know, backing up on your convictions you've made and your commitments you've made to God, the sinner's going to watch that. When you stay at home, when you should be at church, your neighbor's going to think, yeah, I wonder what's the deal. They're supposed to be in church. Right. And your neighbor's not the only ones wondering that. Your preacher's wondering that. Say amen right there. Well, three of you said amen. That's pretty good. The other's probably saying, oh me, I guess. But you're showing, he allowed the providence of this storm, the providence of Jesus surfaced the weakness of the saints, and then the providence of Jesus, listen, showed the wicked sinner that there was hope for him, there was help for him, there was healing for him, and there was happiness for him. Amen. But this also spoke to my heart. Number five is that you can ride out your storm with the people of God. This just spoke to my heart. You're not the only one on board this ship. You're not the only one on board this ship. There's others in the ship too. Sometimes the devil gets you thinking you're the only one going through this. Nobody else knows what you're facing. Oh yes, others knows what you're facing because they faced it. Amen. That's right. Oh, we can face it. We can ride out our storm with the people of God. Now, there was a time, I didn't get saved when I was 20 years old, and there was a time the people of God wasn't my crowd. No, they weren't my crowd. That dope-smoking, drinking bunch was my crowd. You know, birds of a feather flock together, and that was my crowd. That's the crowd I run with. That church crowd wasn't my crowd. But when I got saved, Brother Silas, guess what? That church crowd became my crowd. Thank God I'm sailing with the people of God. I'm not going to bail out on the church. We're going to stay with God. Amen. Hallelujah. That's right. So you can ride out your storm with the people of God. Beware when you start thinking nobody knows, nobody else cares. Watch those thoughts. You know, even Elijah, and if it happened to him, I guarantee it can happen to us. Even Elijah said, I'm the only one left. He really believed that too. Elijah thought he was the only one left until God spoke to him. God spoke to him and told him, said, hey, you're not alone. You're not by yourself. You're not the last one. I've got 7,000 down there that's never bowed their knee to Baal. Amen. Praise God, we're not in this alone. Stay with God's people. The devil wants you to get away from God's people. There's strength in numbers. Thank God there's strength in numbers. Stay with God's people. Stay with God's man. Stay with God's word. Stay in church. Amen. Quitting church will be a major mistake for you. You say, well, I'd be just good at the house. Well, if you're in that bad of shape, you need to get in an altar. You need to get somewhere and have a prayer meeting with God. Amen. That's right. Catering to the flesh is never the way to deal with a storm. Never. Stay with God's people. They were all on board this same ship. Amen. So I'm glad we can ride out our storm. The storm don't have to be the end of you. The storm don't have to be the end of you. Amen. It can have a good outcome as it did here if you respond right. Amen. If you focus on the right things, focus on the right things, it'll turn out better. God will work some good spiritual depth in you, and you'll be able to handle the next storms that come. You'll be able to tell others, hey, you'll make it. I've done been through that. You can make it. You've been saved a while. Look back at those that's coming along and tell them, hey, you can make it. We've been through that. We've already faced that trial. We've already faced that difficulty. You can make it. Ride out your storm. You'll just tell yourself, I think I'm just going to ride it out. Hey, man. How many times I wanted to bail out? I thought that was the easiest. I thought that was probably the best. Amen. The flesh will always say, bail out. Bail out. That ain't going to stop a storm. Ride it out. I don't know what you're going through, and none of us know what we're going to go through, but just go ahead and purpose in your heart right now. I'm going to ride it out. I'm just going to ride it out. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to jump overboard. I'm not going to blame Jesus. I'm not going to get crossed up with Him. I'm not going to blame Him. I'm not going to turn against God's people and start blaming them. It's your fault. It's your fault. It's your fault. No, we're just going to say God's got a purpose. God's got a purpose. He's the big chief. He's the one that's in charge. He's on the throne. We sung it in the choir. Our God reigns. Do you really believe that? Do you really believe that He reigns? Do you really believe that He reigns above the storms of life? Oh, yeah. And you know what? If you're here today and you're lost, I got good news for you. That storm's raging in your life. God's got a purpose. God's got a purpose in that. He's wanting to use that storm to drive you to Jesus. He's wanting you to use that storm in your life, that circumstance going on in your life, to drive you to Him. Not to drive you from Him, but to drive you to Him. Amen. And I promise you that if you're a sinner today and you're living in sin, I promise you there'll be storms in your life as well. But you don't have the peace. You don't have the presence of Jesus. This book don't say much to you because it's spiritually written and must be spiritually discerned. You know? And so you're just kind of being blown about by the circumstances. Man, that's no way to live. I recommend Jesus to you. I recommend Jesus to you. He's the best friend I've ever had. I had friends that I thought, man, they was real friends. But come to find out, they weren't real friends. They was real friends as long as I had gas in the tank, money in the pocket, and something to drink or somewhere to go. They was in my car and ready to go. Amen. But I want to tell you, they weren't friends. They bailed out. When I got saved, that's all I done. I just got saved, but so they bailed out. They didn't invite me to none of the parties no more, which I wouldn't have went anyhow. Hallelujah. That's right. I wouldn't have went anyway, but they never invited me no more to go. They said when I first got saved, they said, oh Barry, he's got on this religious kick. Said he'll be back. Because I was the old party clown. You know, I'd make everybody laugh and stuff. They said he'll be back. Let's just give him a few weeks. This little religious thing he's on, it'll run its course. He'll be back with us. He'll be back down here doing what we're doing, talking the way we talk, living the way we're living. He'll be back down here because he liked it. He liked it, and I did. I loved it. Sinners love sin. Don't ever believe different. They love sin. As a hog loves slop, amen, I guarantee you they love sin, and I loved it. And I'd still be in it if Jesus hadn't saved me. That's right. I'd have still been living that life, if not already in hell, if Jesus hadn't interrupted and intervened in my life on that night. That's right. That's right. Thank God he changed my life, and I've never been back to those parties. I'm still partying. I'm partying with God's people. Amen. I'm still having a time. Amen. I'm not living a boring life. I'm having a time. Amen. Miss Sue was telling about she'd been reading some of the stuff I'd posted about our trip over there, and she said, "Preacher, I thought you was just having too much fun over there." Hey, I was having a time seeing people. Hey, when's the last time I preached or you see anybody preach and 25 people get saved in one service? Come to think of it, I preached three of the eight messages I preached that had more of really an evangelistic slant to it, message to it, and all three times somebody got saved. 25 one time, two another, and 18 another. I could get used to that. I was telling a preacher friend of mine about it, and he said, "Lord of mercy, brother," he said, "I'd make you resign and want to go into missions, won't it?" And I said, "Oh, watch out now. Easy, easy, back up, our horse." Amen. That's right. But man, I tell you, I could get used to seeing people walk the aisle. I could get used to seeing people get hungry, be hungry for the Word of God, bring us the book, preach to us, preacher. Grab you by the arm coming in, "Oh, preacher, you got one more. You got one more. I know you preached before the offering, during the offering, after the offering, between songs, but you got one more. Give us one more. Oh, give us one more." But if you're here lost, I recommend Jesus to you. He's the best friend, and you'll never be happy till you know him. You'll never have joy till you know him. You'll never have peace till you know him. Amen. You say, "I don't understand all of it." Do you know you're lost? Do you know you're not saved? If you know that, you know enough to know that you need to do business with God. Amen. And do you know that you're lost? And number two, do you know that Jesus Christ is the Savior? He's the only Savior. He's the only Savior. Acts 4:12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name given under heaven and among men whereby we must be saved." He's the only Savior. And you know what? He'll save you today. Now, if you don't want to be saved, he can't save you, because he won't cross your will. But if you want to be saved tonight, this morning, and you believe that he can save you, there's faith in you to believe that if I ask God to save me, he'll save me. He'll do that this morning. He'll do that this morning. You say, "Preacher, I'd get saved, but I can't live it." I can't tell you the hundreds of times, I guess, that I've heard that. "Preacher, I'd get saved, but I just can't quit my sinning, and I just can't quit this stuff, and I can't quit that. It's got such a grip on me." Here's something that you maybe don't know, but you're fixing to. When you get saved, God puts his Spirit in you. That's not a figurative speech. That's literal. God puts his Holy Spirit in you. God puts his nature in you. God puts his life in you. It's easy to live a life you've got, but you can't live a life you don't have. And I can testify that Jesus Christ will change your life. He'll change your attitude towards sin. He'll change your desires towards sin. He'll change it. He'll change it. He'll change you. He'll make a new creature out of you. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name. We pray that you'll take our feeble effort this morning to preach, and in spite of our voice this morning, I hope the Word of God went forth. In spite of our weakness this morning, I trust that the power of the Scriptures went forth this morning. I pray, dear God, that you will speak to hearts this morning and show them as believers, if they're going through storms, they can ride it out, because they've got the presence of Jesus with them. They've got the promise of Jesus. Lord, they've got the peace of Jesus, the providence of Jesus, and they're not in this thing alone. Because the people of God is going through it too. I pray, Lord, you help your people with that message this morning. This very simple message. But then also I pray that you'd speak to sinners. Well, I'd like to see somebody get saved this morning. I'd like to see somebody just walk down and say, "Lord, I'm tired of sin. I'm tired of my life. I'm tired of misery. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it, Lord. I want to get saved this morning. I want Jesus to be my master and Lord. I want to serve God all the days of my life. I want to live for Jesus." God, I pray that you'd have your way, Lord, in that regard. Deal with sinners today. Lord, I just felt impressed even then just to pray for those, again, that's here today, that's not that is saved, that are saved. Some of them's thinking about quitting. They're already showing signs of getting slack. Already showing signs of slackness. And Lord, that's never a good sign. The devil's always got ill and bad intentions when there's slackness in the believer. Lord, some missing church, starting to lay out of church, looking for excuses not to come. Lord, show them, God, that's the devil at work. That's the devil at work, and that certainly contradicts the scripture. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. It's a matter of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as we see the day approaching. I pray, Lord, you'd use the invitation now for your glory.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.